This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. It's estimated there are just over 400 North Atlantic right whales remaining. They are severely endangered, and their numbers have been declining in recent years. The two main causes of death are both related to human activities. They're ship strikes and entanglement in fishing gear. And in particular, the lines that connect lobster and crab traps to buoys at the water's surface are major culprits in entanglements. Now, a federal advisory group consisting of scientists, fishermen, environmental advocates, and others has recommended new rules that would dramatically reduce the amount of rope in New England's waters. Joining me now to discuss the significance of this step is Scott Landry. He's director of marine animal entanglement responses at the Center for Coastal Studies. Scott, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
The result coming out of the recent meeting of the take reduction team was an agreement, or an agreement to recommend at least, that the vertical lines from lobster and crab pots up to surface buoys be reduced by something like 50% in Maine's waters and 30% in Massachusetts waters. How significant could that be for the health and the future of the right whale population?
In theory, it could be very helpful. Reducing the amount of buoy lines in whale habitat is one of the main goals that many of the whale research and conservation community has. And what we mean by that is that almost all fishing gear out in the water is marked by buoys that float on the surface so other mariners can see where the gear is. And that's connected by long lines that run to the seafloor to whatever fishing gear is there. And as you get closer and closer to the New England coastline, you'll start to notice that the entire coastline is outlined in gear fields. Some are thicker than others. Some are, you know, relatively light. But if you imagine a whale swimming into these gear fields, the more dense those buoy lines are, or the more buoy lines per square mile, that probably does increase risk. So if we can reduce the number of buoy lines, it should, in theory, decrease risk.
And how might that reduction actually be accomplished? Are we talking about just cutting the number of lobster pots in New England in half? Or are we talking about some sort of technical fix that might allow the lobster industry to continue what it has been doing, but with less risk to the whales?
In the take reduction team meeting, it seemed like all members were clear that it really would be up to the individual states to some degree to decide how that reduction would take place, whether that means that certain fishermen who are only fishing with single pots would trawl up, i.e. they would add more traps per buoy line. Other states might have other sort of strategies to reduce the overall number of buoy lines. But I think a lot of people agreed that the goal of this is not to reduce lobster catch or what lobstermen are able to catch. It's really simply to reduce the buoy lines and how they impact whales. So to some degree, it's probably going to be up to the states in their negotiations with the federal government to reduce how they see fit in their areas.
Another idea that has been talked about and recommended is reducing the strength of ropes so that they would break under tension, or actually putting breaking points into the line so that if a whale were to become entangled, the idea is that the line would part and the entanglement could fall away. As someone who goes out and cuts ropes away from whales and disentangles them, unfortunately, all too frequently, how realistic an idea do you think that is?
Well, I do think it's realistic from the point of view of the fishery. So in other words, fishermen going out in the water and trying to use this gear. It does have to be tested, however. You know, there are serious, you know, safety concerns that the fishing industry is going to keep their eye on, and that's fully understandable. Now, when we go out and disentangle a whale, we often bring that gear sample, as we call it, back to land, and it's housed in a warehouse where that different communities can make use of that gear to do research. Some of that research included testing the strength of the line that we were taking off of whales. And what we did find is that there was a sort of a sweet spot at around 1,700 pounds of breaking strength that would allow most right whales to break the line. It doesn't necessarily mean that the whales are going to break free and not be entangled anymore. They might break free from anchor, but go swimming off with gear. But it did seem like there was a cutoff point at around 1,700 pounds. It's not perfect, but it is certainly something to keep an eye on. What we are worried about is that factor I just brought up before, that, you know, there could be a certain number of animals that swim off with this relatively weak rope. And that would actually make our life, in theory, more difficult, trying to disentangle a whale that whose gear is simply breaking off every time we get close to the animal. So we're trying to find a compromise where it does help the whales and does help the industry.
What is the process going forward here? Because this recent meeting of the take reduction team, this kind of advisory group, is making recommendations to regulators, federal regulators. But there's still a process for that to actually turn into any rule changes and then another process for those rule changes to actually take effect. So what happens next and how long a process is this?
Well, the National Marine Fisheries Service, the federal agency sort of in charge of take reduction or the reducing the amount of whales that are taken in different fisheries, they have a pretty swift timeline, and that's simply because this species is in crisis. We're at around 400, 410 right whales. That's been declining since 2010. The main culprit in this has been entanglement in fishing gear throughout their range, all the way from Florida all the way up into Canada. And so NIMS does seem to realize that their time is of the essence, and they need to move as quickly as possible. But the take reduction team does realize that their recommendation or their actual consensus on this proposal is going to be taken into account by NIMS, and they have to decide if that is going to be enough to reduce those takes. A take is sort of the euphemism for killing whales, whether it's through ship strikes or entanglements. And right now, we can kill less than one right whale per year, and we've been exceeding that number for decades.
I mean, we saw, 17, 18 deaths 2 years ago. This year has been better so far, but that's a far cry from one per year.
Yeah, it's a far cry from that. Obviously, you know, the population in essence is making up for lost time from the catastrophe of 2017. You know, in the years intervening, we had a calving season of zero calves that we know of, and this year to seven. Seven is better than zero, but it doesn't even get us close to making up what we lost, let alone making some gains. So NIMS has taken this to heart, and they realize that time is of the essence.
What are the other options in front of those federal regulators if, as you say, they don't take this recommendation and turn it into a rule? What are the other things that they could do?
Well, the take reduction team, which, as you mentioned, includes a whole variety of different people, everyone from the lobster industry to conservationists to researchers, and all the state and federal agencies, we discussed many different things. That included closures.
Just closing down the lobster fishery.
Well, not closing down the lobster fishery entirely, but targeting them to where were most prevalent. Now, the problem we have with that is that right now the distribution of right whales has been changing over the last decade. So our ability to predict where right whales are going to be is extremely weak. It actually always has been. So those kind of targeted closures are a real challenge. Other discussions included increasing the amount, or actually even starting the amount, of ropeless gear. So in other words, still going fishing, but just doing so with substantially less to no rope. So the National Marine Fisheries Service, or the federal agency in charge of fisheries and of whale conservation, they'll be considering a whole suite of different options, everything from area closures or seasonal closures, ropeless fishing gear, reduced rope fishing gear, and even weak rope fishing gear. There's a whole set of options that the federal agency can use to try to bring the number of takes down to a level that is sustainable.
Scott Landery is the Director of Marine Entanglement Response at the Center for Coastal Studies in Provincetown. Scott, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.